Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, the world, this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke program of the Wrench Radio Network. As you know, we're in the midst of the great shutdown, the great attempt to completely suppress freedom of speech. Anybody in this country who doesn't go along with the turn of this nation away from the principles of our founding fathers and to turn this country away from the interests of the American majority. We have a lot of things to talk about today, and I'm going to talk about the fact that the enemy is becoming so brazen. They're becoming so confident of their victory, even in their own media, even though it's not meant for our media. They're even basically admitting their role in the so-called Antifa, right? Now, the Antifa, and this is something we got to get really straight on, it is a communist slash anarchist organization. Leaders in the Antifa openly proclaim their communism, their Marxism. It's not simply being anti-quote fascist, that's a cover, because anti-fascist sounds a little bit better to the public than saying that they are a Marxist organization working for a Marxist takeover of America. I want to quote to you a little bit from the Forward newspaper. It's one of the major Jewish publications in the United States of America, and it's very, very revealing on a number of levels. The title of the article is called "The Original Antifa Was a Jewish Anti-Nazi Militia." So here they're admitting, even in the title, they're admitting that the Antifa, which the media itself is admitting is doing all kinds of violent, vicious, horrific acts against all kinds of people, what's happened in California, what's happened around, and what really happened in Charlottesville. But they're getting so wild, they're killing and hurting and harming and attacking and beating so many people now, that the media has gotten to a point, everybody's learned of this because of the internet. That's why they're trying to shut down the internet. That's why they're trying to shut down free speech in the internet. Because the only way people even realize this anymore, the only reason people have any idea what happened in Charlottesville, including Donald Trump, the president, who issued some very clarifying statements to the American people, statements that you didn't hear in any of the major media. Nobody said what Trump was saying. Well, the truth is that the people, the alt-right people at Charlottesville, they actually had the permit. They demonstrated the night before, no violence. The violence came about only because of the so-called Antifa. Now, here's some quotations from the Forward. All right, again, the title is "The Original Antifa Was a Jewish Anti-Nazi Militia." They also, folks, wait till you hear some of this, they also admit they were full of Jewish organized crime people, vicious organized crime bosses and so forth. This is, you know, if you read the Jewish press, and that's one reason why I'm calling on a Semite, because I quote from the Jewish press. You know, I quote from Harit's newspaper, the oldest daily in Israel, when they talk about Sarah Silverman and Larry David, you know, challenging America's family-friendly culture, how great this is, and how obscenity is really in the highest of Jewish traditions and things of this nature. You know, I quote from them. And the truth is that most people believe in family-friendly culture, obviously. But listen to this. Here's how this article begins. "While watching the recent events in Charlottesville, Virginia, the violence that erupted between marching neo-Nazis and Antifa protesters," of course, by the way, they take the same narrative as the media. It's like marching neo-Nazis, right, and Antifa. It's not marching European Americans who are defending their heroes and their heritage and our Southern heritage. It's neo-Nazis. It's always something like that because they've spent a lot of money, trillions of dollars in media over the last 50 years to demonize anything called Nazi. Now, calling somebody a Nazi is like calling somebody a witch. I can promise you that these weren't a bunch of, quote, neo-Nazis. These people, what is Antifa? Antifa are communists. They're not even neo-communists. They're members of organizations that praise Marxism and communism. I mean, that's what they do. And they praise violence. None of the people at this Charlottesville rally, which I didn't organize, I can't take credit for it, but I certainly supported people going to it and speaking nonviolently and politically on these critical issues. But here you go, marching neo-Nazis and anti-FA protesters. What is anti-FA? Anti-FA is our communist, violent terrorists who try to terrorize and stop, and they have been able to do that, free speech. Now, the article goes on to say, quote, "I can't help but think back to what was the original anti-FA group of Jews, whom my father told me about from his childhood, growing up as a poor Jewish kid in Newark, New Jersey. My father was born in 1904, and in what was then Kishinev, Russia, which is now Chisinau, Moldavia. Before he was a year old, the family immigrated to the United States. Like many Jewish families at the time, they were fleeing murderous atmosphere created by the Kishinev program of 1903. This is before the Russian Revolution. And this is one reason why the Jews absolutely supported the Bolshevik takeover. And they got their revenge against whatever the programs they said. What are programs? Well, again, if you get one side of history, if you get one side of the news, you don't know what programs are. Maybe, you know, when the Tsar issued the May laws back in the 19th century, I write about this in my book, and I urge you to, in all my books, when he issued the May laws, he talked about the exploitation of the Russian people, Russian Christians, by so much of the Jewish community in terms of loan sharking, fraudulent behaviors, and organized crime behaviors. And for issuing those May laws and saying, we've got to protect these poor people who are being abused, who are being exploited, who are being harmed by these loan sharks and all the rest of it. For doing that, he was called anti-Semitic and you know, hateful. Well, you know, if you protect people, it's like the same way when you attack Goldman Sachs and the greatest predator bank in the world, they call you, what do they call you from that? Well, oh, you're an anti-Semite, right? So anyway, let's go on. My dad grew up in the tenements of Newark without much money, but the wealth of stories about the characters and goings-ons of the Jewish neighborhoods and of Newark of that era. Anti-FA's role in fighting Nazis in the street reminded me of my dad's story about his much beloved, but quote, kind of crooked, very crooked actually, first cousin Jake, Cocky Jake, and sometimes Jack Rothside. Now, Cocky Jake was a black sheep of the family, a guy who was connected with the Jewish mob that ran Newark in the 1930s. The Jewish mob that ran Newark in the 1930s, right? It wasn't that Jake was going around killing people. He wasn't exactly Bugsy Siegel, Meyer Lansky, or Dutch Schultz. All Jews, by the way. In fact, the biggest organized crime operation at that time was, in fact, Murder Incorporated, which was a organization that killed people, murdered people, and tortured people for profit. That's what, yeah, in fact, it was talked about by our government, and it was basically an overwhelmingly Jewish organization. And Meyer Lansky talks about, and Bugsy Siegel were murderers, and they, of course, they romanticized Bugsy Siegel in a movie called Bugsy. Meyer Lansky was the biggest organized criminal of the 20th century. So this is the guy there he's lauding. He said he was the guy who knew a guy, who knew the guy who could get things taken care of when legal remedies were not feasible. My father always told me that the only time the family was ever really proud of Jake was when he'd heard that he'd been involved in busting up pro-Nazi rallies in Newark that were taking place shortly prior to the U.S. entry into World War II. And they called pro-Nazi rallies anybody who simply wanted peace, did not want to go against the Germans, did not want to see a massive war in Europe that would kill millions of people. These people were obviously not just, you know, Nazis, right? He starts talking about the Bund then, which is one of the groups that, you know, was supporting an alliance with Germany. He talks about most Americans at the time were, quote, deeply isolationist. I guess they're all Nazis too, right? The last thing they wanted to do was send American boys to fight and die in another European war. That's all true. And we should have never gone to fight in another European war. So the Bund's activities were not that surprising and found fertile ground. But the local Jewish population was alarmed by the rhetoric, not to mention the sight of activists chanting and sharing Nazi salutes right here in the good old USA. All right? So the leading lights of the Jewish community asked the local police and sheriffs to stop these gatherings, again, violating American constitutional rights of free speech, the very foundation of American principles of and rights that we have in American people. If America is a great country, and if America is something to be proud of, if America is something that we honor and we love, right? Isn't it the biggest thing about America that we love is the fact that we're supposed to be free here? That we're supposed to be able to express our opinions freely? That we are supposed to be able to assemble and express our views freely? That the people had a right to be able to hear from every kind of political view, and then they had a right to elect that person of those views to public office to represent them in terms of government? Isn't that the right? Well, obviously, these people who were newly immigrants to America, they didn't believe in those principles. And that's a good example of what happens when the demography of a country, the demographics of a country, changes to people not of the same heritage. Because they don't have the same value system, they don't have the same loyalty to the principles upon which their forefathers created America as the people who created America have. Now listen to this. This is more of the article. They appealed for protection to the Jewish mob boss in Newark, Abner Longi Zwillman. Zwillman agreed to help. He had his chief enforcer, murderer, and that kind of thing, ex-prize fighter Sidney Nathan Abramowitz, better known as Nat Arno, the name by which is immortalized in the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, organized a, quote, civil rights group, in quotes, which they called the Minutemen. My cousin, Cocky Jake, was a card-carrying member of the Minutemen, and his picture appears in newspaper accounts of the day. The Minutemen were essentially an armed group of Jewish mobsters, thugs, and wise guys. I mean, these are murderers, criminals, prostitute runners. I mean, we just go on and on. Drug dealers. This is what we're talking about here. Now, these are the people who went out to smash the, quote, Nazis, the people who didn't want us to get into another war. Now think about that, folks, for whose side is the good guys on? Remember when they talked about how Trump is terrible because he didn't denounce me fast enough? You know, so they're not, you know, if by that standard, right? So by talking about this, by revealing the fact that Antifa was founded by mobsters and murderers and, you know, drug dealers, right? Isn't that's saying something by their own standards, by their own arguments, right? So there you go. It said, quote, much like today's Antifa, the Minutemen's preferred tools of persuasion were not logic and reason, but baseball bats, brass knuckles, rubber-coated pipes, and occasionally stink bombs. The Minutemen were largely successful. Most of the pro-Nazi rallies were broken up before they got started. The Nazis managed to get away with just a few broken bones and bruises. As Longi decreed, no one, you know. Anyway, it just goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it just starts talking about Antifa, and this was the basis of the original Jewish media. This is what's going on right now. But interestingly enough, you can have an article in the Daily Forward that says the original Antifa was a Jewish anti-Nazi militia of communists, actually, and thugs and organized criminals. But when they talk about some of the anti-fi violence, which they're doing a little bit in the media, vicious violence, they're still not doing the massive condemnations like they did for the European Americans that simply went to this park to try to preserve our monuments, like Robert E. Lee statue there, to try to preserve our rights as Americans, our traditions, and exercise our freedom of speech and assembly. But yet the people that went to that rally were portrayed as murderers, terrorists, domestic terrorism, all the rest of this garbage that we see constantly. They're not doing this to Antifa. What they're saying is the Antifa has been doing some bad things, but guess what? You think the Republicans now are coming out against Antifa? No. Remember Cruz, who, by the way, has two big Jewish donors, you know, Norman and Singer. Those were the biggest two funders of his campaign. You know, also a wife that was Goldman Sachs employee. And then you have, yeah, we can go on, Ryan and all the rest of these idiots and these people. They said there's no equivalence. You know, the real evil was the side of the European Americans that want to preserve Robert E. Lee's statue and want to preserve our heritage and are concerned about the ethnic replacement of our own people in the country that our forefathers founded and gave the principles of and made it great. You know, the people who made America what we call great. And one of those great things about America was freedom of speech, which has evaporated in this country, where if you exercise your freedom of speech, you're liable to get your head bashed in. If you try to defend yourself from somebody with a pipe, and they get the worst of it because you're strong and healthy, then it's our people, are those people, which would be arrested. It's those people which would face criminal behavior. And when they get convicted of anything, and of course you can get convicted in any major city in this country because of the demographic difference. When you get a jury full of black people who've been taught, for instance, like in New Orleans, if you're on trial in New Orleans for a crime, and especially if they call you a racist, right, or they call you a Klansman, or they call you a Nazi, or whatever, and you had a jury of black people, which you'd have in New Orleans, most of the juries are all black, because that's just the way it is in New Orleans, Louisiana, that's the way it is in Charleston, that's the way it is in Baltimore, Maryland, it's the way it is in so many cities, right? So what happens there? Do you think it doesn't matter what the case is? It doesn't matter what the facts are. If they say this person is a, quote, racist, unquote, racist, then my God, Lord, help you. You know, it's just like, you know, I was charged by the feds. They were going to put me for a black, you know, I got a choice. I got a choice between half the judges that are Jewish, and I got a choice between a jury of, you know, a lot of black people on it. I mean, is it like they would give me the death penalty for jaywalking if they could? You know, so what kind of freedom is there? And that's one reason why I think our forefathers also gave us another liberty, another right that we are not really able to pursue in this country, and that is the right of a jury of our peers. Not a jury of people who are not our peers, not of our values, not of our heritage, which has very different political points of view and very different points of view about everything. And one way I can illustrate that too is just look at the difference. Look what's going on with Houston. We had the Cajun Navy, great, courageous people, overwhelmingly European Americans, overwhelmingly trying to help people. They went out to rescue people. They didn't care if they were black, white, whatever. They go out in their boats. They risk themselves. They risk everything, and they get shot at. They try to hijack their boats. They get condemned. And if you look at the Twitter feeds, blacks are just pouring abuse upon these white people who went there to help people, including an awful lot of African Americans. This is the reality of America today. You understand, as I always say, America is like the movie The Matrix. Everything you think is real is not real. The media is not real. The real David Duke is not the caricature of David Duke. It's not the avatar of David Duke. The real Spencer, Richard Spencer, is not the real Spencer, the real Don Black. What they do is they create this demon, and I guess I'm the great demon, according to the media, and they use that as a weapon. They use that as a way, and then they don't ever give you a chance to speak in live interviews on the international national news, because they know if you have a right to speak, if I have a right to argue or even debate these people who come out loaded for bear, and some of these people are very skilled debaters, very skilled, and very, you know, and they have got all these props and everything they can use to kind of help make their case, but they can't even have me in a debate on one of these talk shows, major media. Why? I think it's very simple. Because they can't stand the exposure. They can't stand for people to see the real David Duke, who doesn't speak hatefully or violently, and who talks about the real racism going on, the vicious racism that's even trying to destroy a whole people, which is generally called genocide, whether or not you kill people purposely in chambers or whether you simply make sure they don't breed, or you get their kids hooked on drugs and dope and just destructive behaviors, and you get them sick with sick food, you know, I mean, which the media also is their engine. A fuel for the media is the sick food they promote and the drugs for the sicknesses that treat those. I mean, we have an amazing situation in this country. They cannot afford someone like me. They cannot afford someone like me pointing out who really runs the New York Times, who really runs the Washington Post, who really runs Hollywood. That Hollywood is not so white. It's so anti-white. And it's so Jewish racist. It is an establishment that supports the Jewish takeover of America, which is another term which was used by David Brooks of the New York Times. They support the wars that we've been in. We got to make a change. So there's the original Antifa, was a Jewish anti-Nazi militia, and it goes on to talk about a bunch of thugs and criminals, organized criminals, murderers, in fact. And that's another good example, too, of their control, the fake world they live in. If you watch the movies over the last 30 years, all you see is Italian gangsters. You know, you see the Capones and you see all this other stuff. The truth is that organized crime in America, even in America, as well as all over the world, as for 2,000 years has been dominated by people not of Italian descent, with a tiny percentage of the crime. They weren't Italians all through Europe organizing all sorts of criminal behaviors like prostitution rackets and drug rackets and alcohol rackets. No, it wasn't, all right? But Jews were, and even the great Martin Luther, the founder of Protestant Christianity, even he wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies, and he also wrote a book called the Criminal Lexicon. And what he did is he pointed out that almost all the words throughout Europe that was used to describe criminal behavior, organized criminal behavior, everything from loan sharking to alcohol distribution, which was harmful to so many people, families, especially back then, and all the other prostitution, all the other rackets they were involved in. And he pointed out that these names, the names used to describe these things, all had Jewish origins, showing the Jewish, complete Jewish weight and power in this. It's always been this way. They still run the pornographic, you know, markets in this country. They Jewish organized criminals in Russia, Middle East, and in Israel control the organized prostitution racket. So there you go it. That's why I'm attacked, because I actually have the temerity, the courage, and the honesty, and the truth to quote Jewish sources. Back in a moment with the very fine academic, Dr. Patrick.
MD, Dr. Robert Rowan.
I summarized the work of Dr. Helmut Keller, what he found in Carnivora and why it might be able to do so many wonderful things. A lot of patients got better. They literally do miracles for a wide variety of conditions, from infection to autoimmune conditions and beyond that.
Visit carnivora.com, carnivora.com, or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Venus Fly, used by President Reagan successfully in 1985.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.
To be a morning after, if we can hold on through the night, we have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light.
Okay, folks, this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke program on the Rinse Radio Network. And again, you know, when they always use the word hate to describe anything that I say, or Don Black, or Patrick Slattery, anything that we say is always defined as hate. We're called haters, somebody who's overwhelmed by hatred. That's like our motivation in life. That's how you define it in the dictionary. The truth is that we wouldn't put up with what we put up to, the repression, the attacks, the violence, the threats against our families, the lies about us, the viciousness, because we hated somebody. we do this, and what we're motivated by is a very deep and abiding love, a love for our people, our beautiful heritage, our beautiful children, for our freedom, for the great nation, the true America that our forefathers created, and the true European nations of culture, art, literature, and beauty, the great values of our people, which has a right to live. That's why we're doing this fight. That's why we put up with what we put up with. That's why, even though when they try to shut us down and destroy and take away our, even our ability to get contributions, just to pay for the work, to pay for our work, that we continue to fight no matter what. And that's, and the reason why they're shutting us down, one more time, don't be black-pilled by this, folks. The reason they're trying to shut us down is because we're winning, because they know when we have a fair playing field, when we can give our ideas, when we can debate those ideas, that we will win. And that's why they're so afraid, because we are winning the battle, and that's why they have to make sure the it's not a fair game. It's like in a football team, on a football game. Football season is upon us, college and professional. I hope you have something better to do than watch all that stuff. But imagine a football game if the referees were entirely controlled by the enemy, and one team was allowed 5 or 6 downs, and the other team was allowed 1 down to get a first down, you know? And I mean, or, you know, it's just like, this is the way it works. It's not a fair playing field. And just like you have to have fairness in a sporting event, you've got to have fairness in the political atmosphere, in the political milieu. And if you don't have that, you have nothing. And you have a gateway to tyranny. Dr. Slattery, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on again, Dr. Duke.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's on your mind today? Let's go into the first. It's a very revealing article, isn't it? I love to read the foreword because there's so much stuff. If the American people were exposed to all this, they'd understand our points are true. And but they're just admitting the original Antifa was a Jewish anti-Nazi militia, and so they're definitely proud of it. And here they are boasting about organized criminals, murderers, right? Drug dealers, right? Who were involved in this so-called anti-Nazi movement, which is basically a pro-war movement, which, by the way, ended up killing a lot of Americans and millions upon millions of Europeans burned to death and destroyed.
Well, I knew that the Antifa had this Jewish origin from the, I guess, the 20s and 30s, or maybe the 30s, I don't know about the 20s. I knew it had these Jewish roots, but the organized crime aspect of it, that is very, very interesting. And I've seen people dressed up, in the black. They were called anarchists. You'd see them in the 90s. You'd see them in the 2000s. You saw them in the 90s in anti-globalization rallies, and I've seen them at, you know, these types of anti G20 or G7 or whatever when they'd have the IMF meetings, you would see them, and there they were protesting globalism, and here today what you have is they're actually, it's almost as if the things that the that they were against before, the globalism, is now what they're fighting for. It's bizarre. Now, I don't know a whole lot about who was behind what was going on with people or people who dressed similar to them in 15, 20 years ago at the anti-globalization rallies. But here it seems pretty clear that you have the modern Jewish mafia, you know, the George Soroses and other big money people, that you have them just completely funding. If you talk about Charlottesville, these people were not from Charlottesville. They were bused in from wherever. It's the same in Auburn and Berkeley. They're being bused in from wherever. That costs money. So you have a, just as you did 80 years ago, you've got this organized Jewish money behind these people. And it really is a Jewish thing, and they're fighting for Jewish supremacy. They are fighting for Jewish supremacy. They talk about being anti-racist, anti-white supremacist. There's no white supremacy in America. There's Jewish supremacy, and that's what they're fighting for.
It's all a complete lie. It's just a complete joke. I mean, they describe us every time as white supremacists when what we are people that are fighting for our human rights, our human heritage, and the fact that whites shouldn't be discriminated against, that immigration shouldn't be a purposeful policy to replace us in the nation our own forefathers created, and to change politics by changing the demographics in the country. I mean, it's all a lie. You know, they don't say white activists, they say white supremacists. They don't say white civil rights activists, and it really is a civil right. It is a human right, really, for any people to preserve themselves. So the hypocrisy is amazing. It's just, it never stops. But by controlling the media, they can control the labels and they can control the narrative. But interestingly enough, we have Jewish media like The Forward, among talking to Jews, which we can share, and that's why they want to shut us down, because they can't really argue with our facts, can they?
No, they can't. And, you know, you think back, I guess it was 60 years ago or so, there was the case of the restaurant in Georgia that didn't serve blacks, and they were forced to serve blacks because it was interstate commerce, and interstate commerce is regulated by the federal government, and federal government said that they had to serve blacks. And this is just a restaurant. You know, you can always find another restaurant next door. But they call that Jim Crow. That was Jim Crow. And what you have today, you have these internet monopolies where obviously we can't go next door. Whether it's Stormfront, whether it's you with your ability to take credit card payments, we're being completely shut out.
Or have a video.
But, you know, take credit card payments with you. We're currently unable to take credit cards. So we're not talking about one restaurant on some street in Georgia. We're talking about the entirety of the financial system refusing to do business with you because of your political business. That goes way beyond Jim Crow. I call that Jew Crow. They're Jew Crowing you.
Jew Crow. Zio Crow.
Jim Crowstein. I don't know, but it goes so far beyond anything that had been in Jim Crow, where the entirety of the financial system refuses to do business with you because of your political beliefs. It's not as if you can go down the street to... Jim Crowstein. It's not as if you can go down the street and go to a different restaurant. You can't go down the street and go to a different bank because the Jewish power has pressured the entire financial system to refuse you services. The same way the Jewish establishment has forced the entire domain name registration industry to refuse services to Don Black or to Andrew Anglin. The blacks were not starved to death under Jim Crow.
No.
So this goes way beyond. This Jew Crow, or Jim Crowstein, goes way beyond anything that we've had in the country.
No black was ever denied the ability to start a business or to get a bank account somewhere or to do business, you know, fairly. I mean, that's never been denied them. And that's what they do now is they attack anybody who doesn't have this new Bolshevik mentality. They just want to destroy your ability to subsist and be able to publish books, be able to put out a narrative, to even organize and get contributions from like-minded people who want to support such a cause. I give an example. I mean, I had a bank account for years with a very famous bank in New Orleans and South Louisiana. It was a local bank. It was called Hibernia Bank. Became very big, very popular. And I had an account there for 25 years. I never wrote a bad check, right? I mean, I never had a check bounce, basically, in 25 years. I've always been a true teller. And so guess what? You know, so it's bought up by Capital One, a big New York Jewish bank. And Capital One takes over the bank. And one day, and my account's been closed now for 5 days, and checks are bouncing all over the place of of my commerce that I'm doing. And one day I get a message in the bank from the bank, it comes late. We've closed all your accounts. You can't have any accounts with us. You can't even have a retirement account. You can't have a savings account. You can't have a brokerage account. You can't have a checking account. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, back in those days, you had a basic, you know, right to do business. Nobody even questioned it. No bank would ever turn down a black person who brought in and started a savings account or a checking account. No bank, in fact, they're always talking about LGBT, no bank, even though homosexuality was a very frowned upon thing, a person came into a bank who was obviously a puff, and I guess there's always been a few of those in New Orleans, Bourbon Street and such, you know, they wouldn't even consider saying, well, you can't have a bank account, right? They wouldn't even consider such a thing. But this is what's going on today by this new thought police, which is basically Zio thought police, Zio police, that is basically telling people they can't do commerce, they can't do business, they can't promote their ideas. And whatever happens, we can't let people hear their ideas because, my God, when people hear them, they're going to like it. I mean, one of the videos that they basically said that I couldn't even have comments on it. You can't share the video with other people, right? A video that was said, you know, that, oh, this was on the borderline. They didn't say it was. They even said that it may not, you know, it's not hate speech, but it's kind of borderline. It's got some complaints. So you can't share it anymore. It was a video of CNN, Goldman Sachs, and the Zio Matrix of Power, right? And what happened? Well, this video was seen by probably 40 million people worldwide because people made hundreds of copies of this video and they played it all over the world, put it in many different languages, translated it, put it in with subtitles and everything. And on our English language site, from just basically in America, we've got 1.8 million views. So it's not just a small gaggle of people. And this had 1.8 million views of people all over the world. In fact, I think probably whites were a minority of all the viewers. 96.6, something like that, positive ratings. In other words, from people that watched the video. We had something like 20,000 positive reviews of the video, and we had something like 320 negative. And I can tell you who most of those were. But this video is now suppressed. It has been banned in Europe, even though we had members of Lancet, which is the oldest medical journal in the world, one of the most respected in the world, The Lancet. Even though some of the medical doctors that take part in that magazine actually shared the video and said it was great and truthful and honest, we had politicians, both left and right, share this video, and they were attacked for that. But ultimately now you can't even see the video in Europe at all, and there is no due process. It's not like they charge you with an offense or a crime or say, look, we don't think this video should be shown for some reason, but you have no ability to defend it. You have no ability to show how this is not hateful. You have no ability to show that everything in it is factual and truthful, and that it's showing a real crime that's going on. And what it showed was the massive crimes of Goldman Sachs, the criminality of Goldman Sachs, and the fact that the Jewish mafia, a Jewish judge named Rudolph, and Jewish judge, Jewish prosecutor from the Justice Department, Jewish head of the Security Exchange Commission, and Jewish media all let Goldman Sachs slide in one of the greatest robberies of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And should we let criminals get off? Should we let criminals get away with this? Because Jews see Goldman Sachs as a very important contributor to their Zionist policies and programs. Also, the biggest single political, this criminal bank is the biggest single political contributor, corporate contributor, of both Republicans and Democrats. So there you go. I mean, it's like, so they not only control CBS, NBC, ABC, Hollywood media, the biggest major media conglomerates on the planet, CNN is the biggest, but they also want to make sure that we can't even on a website get out a video or get out our word. And look at Stormfront. We have 300,000 over the years, over a million people have subscribed to Stormfront, come and gone. Million people, at least. And millions upon millions of posts. Lots of information there is searchable from Stormfront. Not now, right? They don't want the searchable information discovered either. And when they were taken down, they not only took down the right of Don Black to have his own domain name, which he paid for, steal it from him. They also took away his right of freedom of speech, and he took away the rights of really hundreds of thousands of others who have posted their opinions on this site. And it's also opinion is somewhat policed because he doesn't allow any sort of violence or any sort of racial epithet or that kind of thing on the site. Not even obscenity is allowed on the site. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we have a media, you can just go to the internet, whether you're good or not, you're still going to get ads when you go to different places to get a product, or you go to look up an article. You're going to get advertisements for hardcore, sick pornography, even torture porn. They don't have a problem with a credit card. They don't have a problem getting on the internet. They don't have a problem with their domain names being taken away. Hardcore torture porn. Mm. That's mainstream now with like 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, and didn't ISIS do a lot of its recruiting online?
Sure, they still do.
And don't they get lots? I mean, they seem to be able to transfer money.
Pedophiles are still online.
Well, it's crazy. Now, regarding Jim Crow, people will say, well, it's different because that was people's race and they can't help their race. Whereas political thought, that's what, you know, people can help their political thought. But what is the only political thought that is being shut down or where they're trying to shut down? It's the political thought that is advocating for the interests of white people. So, you know, maybe if you're a white person who is okay with having a rapid demographic decline and erasure, if you're fine with that, yeah, you can get on. They won't hold the color of your skin against you as long as you're with the program. But if you're simply saying that white people have interests, our interests are being violated, and they are being violated, well, if you say they're being violated by reptilians from the center of the earth, maybe you could get away with it. But if you're not focusing too much on the white aspect of it, but if you say white people,
that's right.
If you say white people's have ethnic interests and they are being violated by Jewish supremacists who we can demonstrate rule the society, we get shut down. That's how you get shut down, by advocating for the interests, the legitimate interests of white people.
And just daring to talk, as we've talked about so much here, every day practically, about Jewish supremacism, true supremacism. Israel is a supremacist state. And that's really supremacism when you have a people who were a minority of Palestine come in, right, and put a tyranny and a terrorist, murderous tyranny and ethnic cleansing over the majority Palestinian people, right? And put them in prison, torture them, murder them, whatever, and then also go into Lebanon, other countries, and sponsor all these insane terrorist organizations like ISIS. I mean, can they not the American people understand that even bin Laden, who our government says did 9/11, right, that bin Laden was actually started out by our neocon-dominated government. And the reason why they supported this radical jihadist terrorist who later did the 9/11 attacks in collusion with Israel, I believe, but they did these attacks. And it's like nobody brings out the fact that they did this because the Russian people had risen up and they started overthrowing the Jewish power that established communism in the first place and killed tens of millions of people, until finally even the Russian government, even Khrushchev, was getting up before the Russian Duma and saying, yeah, these commies killed tens of millions of people. We can't have that anymore. And that only happened really at the end of the Second World War and the beginnings of the 50s when the Russians got control over their government overwhelmingly. And that's when we supported the terrorism of Osama bin Laden, who is doing terrorism against the Russians in Afghanistan. And that's, once you understand Jewish power and you understand this Jewish supremacism, and they have a supremacism that is where 2% of the population have control over our government policies, for instance, our State Department, They have control over our media, like the New York Times and the Washington Post. They have control over CNN. They have control over the Hollywood industry. They have control over four or five of the largest media conglomerates on the planet. So they go into every country of the world. They have control over Hollywood, which affects the mores and the values of people all over the world. And I would argue that Hollywood doesn't really promote great values for our people. And it's like, you, if you dare to just talk about that, you know, they always make us out to be the bad guys. But under the supposed white racist, as they call us, you know, America became a land of opportunity. And it's also, it was actually not something, even though I believe all people got a right to have their own country and their own society, their own communities, control their own destiny. We should never brought, or nobody should ever brought slaves here. The Jews should never been allowed to bring slaves here. They were the biggest slave traders, and we should not have any slaves that were our own. Even though Jews were the biggest per capita slave holders, they were 40% of Jewish households had slaves during the slavery period in America. Only 1% of Americans had slaves. So, you know, the chances of a Jew in America having direct ancestors that owned slaves is 40 times greater than the chance for an average white person. But white people are blamed for slavery. Jews are never blamed for slavery. Plus, they were the ones who engaged in the slave trade, which was the greatest, really, sin, if you would have put it, if you put it that way, of slavery, because the great death toll of the Middle Passage and the Triangle of Death, slave trade, which they dominated and which their own books brag about.
Well, you know, had there been no slavery, you would have no black American race. It's not as if Kanye West or Venus Williams would have been born in Liberia. They wouldn't exist. And so there is this irony for blacks in particular to want to go back and erase everything that has to do with slavery, denounce everything that has to do with slavery. If there had been no slavery, they wouldn't exist. You know, you can't go back and change history. You can't determine who your ancestors were, who your parents were. You don't get to choose your parents. Blacks are descended mainly from West Africans who were brought over here as slaves, but also from a certain amount of white slave owner ancestry. And they just simply would not exist if there wasn't slavery. And they,
not in America, they were right.
They wouldn't exist.
Well, that's a good point, too. You know, if I would have lived in those times, you don't know what your politics would be, but my values... The man I identify with most is Thomas Jefferson in terms of our founding fathers. I love Thomas Jefferson. Everything that he wrote is amazing. And he and the other leaders, in fact, who was a member of the American Colonization Society, which was to help free the black slaves, bring them back to Africa, also compensate the owners, I would have been opposed to slavery. But again, that's not according to the avatar they created, David Duke. I think we're out of time, Dr. Thus. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me on again, Dr. Duke.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Again, you can help us. You can support us. This is Crunch Time, folks. Go to Box 188. Just write a letter. Send a check. And if you want to order a book, list the book and the price. You can find it on my website. Send a check or money order or cash to Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, M-A-N-D-E-V-I-L-L-E, Louisiana, 70470. And by the way, we're working on getting representation, but it's costing money and effort, but we may have to pay more fees, but we're going to get a credit card eventually. So, folks, thank you, and your support will help us fight and help us defend ourselves and help us continue to expand our work. And the reason why all the shutdown's happening is because people like myself and Dr. Slattery and Don Black and so many others, Andrew England, has been so successful in carrying our message to people. People are waking up. That's why the shutdown's going on. So please give us some support right now. We really need it. Hope to hear from you soon. Thank you. And I'll see you again tomorrow with Eric Stryker.
Loved ones, take the banner at the top.